Welcome to Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi, and I'm here with Keebs.
I'm Lisa, and what?
I'm not even going to explain that one. You did work at a cookie factory as a Keebler elf.
I did work as a cookie factory. I was not a Keebler elf. I worked at a cookie factory. Okay. That is true.
Okay. Very good. Very good.
Yeah, I mean, but you're telling us something about a house today? That's what's happening?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's not a real house. It's a parable that Jesus spoke about. And I was watching one of those home renovation shows a while back. You know, the ones where the couple buys a fixer-upper, beautifies the bones, great neighbors, the host walks through going, look at these original hardwood floors. Look at the crown molding.
Yeah. I like Ugliest House in America, actually.
Okay.
I like that one. Yeah.
Everyone's excited, and then they get the inspector in, and he goes under the house, and it turns out this whole foundation has been shifted. Like, there's termites. I always like those ones, because they're like, the cost.
Of the termites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a crack running the full length of the slab, or you have the termites, and he stops and says, well, that changes things.
Yeah, it always does.
Yeah, the beautiful kitchen doesn't not matter if the slab is wrong, right? Yeah. Or the foundation is going down.
Yeah, the countertops have, you know, they really don't matter.
They really just don't matter. Yeah. The crown molding, lovely, but... Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter. If the foundation is gone, the whole thing is at risk.
Yeah, and that's kind of what Jesus is getting at in the parable at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, where he talks about two builders and two different foundations and one storm.
Yeah, and we're thinking about this idea of what do we build upon? And the parable of the wise and the foolish builders, a kid's song about that, but it's also a Bible passage. And today we're going to be talking about what is the parable? Who is Jesus telling it to? And what does the storm have to do with any of us?
All right, let's get to it.
Before we read the parable itself, some setup. Matthew 7, 24 through 27 is the closing image of the Sermon on the Mount. This is a long sermon that starts in chapter 5. And it's part of the Beatitudes, salt and light, the Lord's Prayer, do not worry, do not judge. It's one of the most famous pieces of teaching in human history, and the parable is how Jesus ends it.
Yeah, it's a closing argument, and it's not a gentle one. Jesus has been teaching for 3 chapters. That's a long sermon. And he lands the whole thing with a story about a house falling down. And he's making a very clear point. It's not information, it's an invitation. And if you hear it and do not act on it, you actually have not heard it.
And that's interesting because we think of hearing a sermon as the thing. You show up, you listen, you leave. And Jesus is saying showing up is not the point. The sermon isn't the point. It's the push.
Yeah, showing up isn't the point. There's this famous verse just before the parable, verse 21 of chapter 7 of Matthew, where Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. And then he describes people who prophesied in his name, cast out demons in his name, performed miracles, and he says, I never knew you.
Whoa. That's the starting point of the passage.
Yeah, startling.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where you're like, what? And I want to sit in that for a second because I think it reframes who the parable is for. Jesus is not talking to people who have no religious background. He's not warning people who never showed up. He's talking to religious people, active, involved, ministry doing people. And he's saying activity is not the same as foundation.
So the parable isn't about atheists versus Christians.
Not at all. Both builders are building. Both of them heard the words. The question is what they did with what they heard.
Yeah, so here's the parable. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash.
And so I think that there are some similarities and there's also some differences between the two builders.
Yeah, both of them hear the words. Both of them build. The storm comes for both of them. Same rain, same rising stream, same wind.
Everything is identical except the foundation and also the outcome.
Yeah, the rain came down on both houses. Jesus doesn't say the wise builder lived in a nice neighborhood with good drainage. He says the same storm hit both, and one house stood and one fell with a great crash.
Kind of the start of this is it starts with a storm, because I think this is where a lot of people misread the parable. They hear build on the rock and they think Jesus is offering a storm-free life.
Oh, and he's not.
No, he's not offering the storm. He's absolutely not. He's doing the opposite. He's saying, I'm telling you this so that when the storms come, not if, you will have something to stand on. The parable is not a promise of comfort. It's a promise of stability.
So what's the storm in real life?
I think there's lots of storms. Loss, grief, failure, a marriage that falls apart or is really annoying, a diagnosis, a season where your faith stops making maybe sense to you, a church that you're just sitting there and you're just kind of going, man, I don't know what to do here. I feel disconnected. A life that did not go the way you planned. The storm is anything that tests whether you have been living, what you've been really living on, I think, can actually hold you.
No, Jesus says everybody gets a storm.
Jesus says everyone gets one. And I think this is one of the most honest, underrated things Jesus ever said. There is a version of Christianity that implies subtly or not so subtly that if you're doing the right thing, life goes smoothly. And when the storm comes for that person, they have a crisis of faith on top of what the actual crisis, because they thought the foundation was supposed to prevent this.
And instead, Jesus built the storm into the story from the beginning. He looked at the crowd at the end of his long sermon and said, everything I've just taught you, put it into practice. Not because life will be easy, but because life will be hard and you're going to need some things to hold on to.
And there's some comforting, it's kind of comforting in a strange way.
It's actually really comforting because it removes shame from the storm. You're not getting hit because you did something wrong. You're not being punished. The rain comes and that's just the world. The question is what your house is sitting on. So tell me more about the two builders, because Jesus uses interesting language, wise and foolish, not evil and good, not faithless and faithful, wise and foolish.
That's a good catch. He reaches for wisdom language, which is a language of Proverbs. Wisdom is, the Bible is not IQ. It's not academic intelligence. Wisdom is the ability to see reality clearly and to live in line with it. The wise person sees how things actually are and builds accordingly. The foolish person sees what is convenient, what is comfortable, what costs less right now, and builds on that.
So the foolish builder isn't stupid. They just chose the easier option.
They choose the path of least resistance. Sand is easier to build on than rock. You can dig a foundation pretty easily. Rocks take work to prepare. You have to dig down. You have to clear what is in the way. Sand is right there on the surface and it's nice and flat and you can build kind of immediately if you wanted to.
And it looks fine in good weather.
It looks great in good weather. You cannot tell from the outside which house is on what. They look identical. The difference is completely invisible until the storm comes.
So what do you think the modern equivalents of building on the sand are? Like, what are we actually being warned against?
I think there's a few things that pop into my mind. One is building your identity on performance, on being successful or competent or like everyone likes you. That works until failure comes. Failure. Maybe someone doesn't like you or doesn't care for you. And when it does, people who are built on performance have no ground left to stand on. They have been so defined by doing well that doing poorly feels like their identity has been taken.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will recognize that.
I think another one would be really that approval thing, living for acceptance of a group, a family, a social circle, and maybe being a people pleaser in that. That is a sand because people change their minds, communities shift. And if your sense of self is located in whether people think well of you, you are one bad season of relationships away from a collapse.
Oh, and in the church world too?
Yeah, I think so. Building on feeling things are going well or attendance is, you know, I've attended a bunch or I like the worship music or, you know, whatever, people are happy. When that becomes the foundation of why you come to church or why you believe in God is working, what happens when the numbers go down or you just don't feel like going or the worship music isn't what you thought it was going to be or the church goes through a season and if you just feel lonely in it and some of your friends leave, the foundation has to be deeper than the metrics.
So sand isn't irreligion, it's fragile religion.
Sand is fragile religion or fragile anything. Anything that cannot hold you when it gets hard is really the sand. The question the parable asks is, when the storm came, what was there?
So what's the good news? So, because we've spent some time in hard territory today, and we want to make sure that we land with something hopeful.
Here's the good news, and it's hiding in plain sight in the parable. Jesus says, the wise builder hears the words of mine and puts them into practice. The foundation is not a doctrine you believe, it is the person you follow. The rock is Jesus himself, his words, his way of seeing the world, his vision of what a human life is for.
Yeah, so we're not building on a set of rules, we're building on a relationship. On the living word. And here's what that means practically, right? The foundation isn't something you construct. It's someone that you return to. Every time the ground shifts, every time the storm comes, the invitation is not try harder or be better. It's come back. Come back to the words, come back to the person, come back to what is actually solid.
Yeah, because the rock doesn't move. And I think that is the most important thing to say to someone who has been through a hard season and is shifting in the wreckage, going, I don't know what is true anymore. The rock is still there. It did not go anywhere. The invitation is always to build on what holds. And the storm does not disqualify you from rebuilding. The storm does not disqualify you from any of that. If anything, the storm is often what reveals what always has been true about the foundation and gives you the chance to build it differently.
So what does somebody do with this episode? Like, what's the move?
One thing, I think you have to be honest, ask an honest question as you sit in this. Not a checklist, just one question. When was the last hard thing came and something hard has come for all of us? What did you reach for? And I think that's when you know if you're on the rock or not on the rock, is because what you're reaching for kind of reveals that. And Jesus says, just come to me, just build on me, build on me, build on me. And that is good news that you can use.
Thanks for tuning in with us. If you've got questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to office@evangelup.org. If you'd like to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes, just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform or go to our website, evangelup.org.